And there are three departments in our life that will affect the knowing of God. One is our spirit, second is our soul, third is our body. Spirit, soul, and body. That we have to have something done to our spirit in order to know God. We have to have an in our spirit that's taken care of when we were born again. When we were born again, we have received the Spirit of God within us. We have received a new spirit. But our spirit man needs to grow. And unless our spirit man grow and is fed the word, he cannot know God. Just as a little child cannot be trained to drive a car because a little child does not have the capacity to do it. The legs are too short to touch. That car, we're talking about normal cars, that car was not built for the size of that child. It was built for physical size bigger. A child's leg cannot press and touch the clutch, the accelerator, or the brakes. And a child's little hand is not strong enough to push the gears, to control the car. Even if power steering is too dangerous for them. For it was not built for the physical size of a child. Perhaps there are some special cars that you do it, but still the mental capacity of a child may not be there. But as the child grows physically into an adult size with the mental capacity, then the potential is there to train a child to drive the car. Or rather, by that time, it's a young adult to drive the car. In a similar way, our spirit man needs to grow. There are certain things that God cannot reveal to us if our spirit man is not at the capacity to receive it, because our spirit man cannot handle it. It was Jesus who said, "Do not cast the pearls to the swine, to the pigs." He says, otherwise they will turn around and they will come at you. He himself said it. Apparently, the revelation of God is not possible to be given, and is given only a different spiritual condition. So let's look at the spirit first. Let's say as she began to nurture in the word and her spirit man grow to a certain extent, then God sees it, the person is now ready to handle 10 volts of my glory and revelation. Because if God gives 10 volts while she cannot handle 10 volts, I mean, adverse things may happen. So she grows to that level. So God's glory of himself comes. 10 volts of revelation. Oh, she basks in the glory of God. And through time, the spirit man strengthens more with the word and grows more with the word. And she grows under her spiritual man and capacity can handle 15 volts. And God says, all right, now they can handle 15 volts of my revelation. God reveals. Unto that. Right? Now in the natural, as you get to know people, the first thing that you do when you get to know people is you don't tell your words. Sometimes they discover it. Right? And, praise our friend. Alright. Praise God. And, praise the Lord. So, you know Dan, right? Does Dan wear false teeth? He doesn't. Are you sure about it? He has told you. Right. Praise God. And sometimes we'll get to know one another, you know. Praise the Lord. And some of the words expect after. Dang, 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 dang. On their wedding night, they found out that the bride wears Oski. I love you. Oh, isn't that marvelous? Now, of course, I believe that people will know each other well enough before that, right? But some of the adverse revelations people don't uncover, don't unveil, until a certain commitment is there. That's on the negative side. But there are other positive things involved. Like, for example, if it's a very rich multimillionaire father and they are bringing the child up, in a multimillionaire just keeps giving anything the child wants, the child may grow up not knowing how to handle finances, not knowing the value of finances. But if the father were to withheld it and let the child handle a little and learn the value of it and learn what it's like to go without it, then when the child has it and he learns the value of it, and then when the child, the wealth is released, the child will not, or the later the adult, will not squander the wealth. But a lot of second generation millionaires squander the wealth. Not all, but there are a lot. And the wealth destroys them. Because they did not earn the wealth, and therefore they didn't have the capacity to maintain the wealth, and the capacity to handle the wealth. For the same wisdom that it takes to accumulate the wealth is the same wisdom that it takes to maintain it and utilize it. So in the same way, our Father knows how much we can handle of His revelation. And He has to make sure there is a certain growth in our spirit before He reveals Himself. There is there need to be a strengthening to handle the things of God. Strengthening. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. It says there in verse 16 that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your heart. Notice that. He's not talking about the soul. He's talking about your spirit. He's not talking about your body. He's talking about your spirit. So He's talking to Christians, where Christ is already in their heart. But Christ can be in our heart to different degrees of His presence. Different degree. Now we cannot fully comprehend them, but it's there in the Bible. Isn't it interesting that the proportion to which Christ can dwell, or other words, unveil and unfold and reveal Himself to our lives, is proportional to the strengthening that takes place within us. As you're strengthened more, you can handle more Christ in you. Then if you pray the right prayer, you see, now we're talking about praying the right prayer. It's a prayer to strengthen your spirit man. And the spirit man will be strengthened some more. Then Christ can dwell some more. Strengthen more, Christ can dwell more. Ephesians 1 is a prayer for the mind. That the mind, your dianoia, will be enlightened. That's a part of your mind. There are other parts of your mind too. A dianoia will be enlightened. Romans 12, verse 2, is about your mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is about the mind. Unveiled face is referring to the mind. Unveiled mind, the context of it. The second part of our being, in order to know God, is our mind. There has to be something that changes in our mind before God starts revealing Himself. And the third area is our body. Every time you pray a prayer of dedication of your talents, of your finances, of your strength, you put yourself in a position for God to reveal Himself. Isn't it interesting to know? And in many places where I've ministered in, I found this, that when it's a congregation that has dedicated and is very giving to the Lord, the revelation and the anointing of God flow very strong. But when you minister to congregations that are stingy, who do not learn to give or dedicate their finances, the power of God also could not work. Because if people are not faithful in finances, how can they be faithful to other things? It's interesting to note that. And I have talked with many men of God who come and go also. And they travel all over this country. And they're very frank with me and very frank with them. I'm very honored and open, up front. I said, tell me frankly, all these churches you go through, and I understand you, I also have a traveling ministry, I understand the expenses involved. And I said, how much did this church give you an offering? And they tell me the figure. How much did this church give you an offering? Well, they tell me a figure. I wanted to know because I wanted to see if it was enough. If it was not enough, I would try my best to do something to make sure they get something before they go. Because I love them, I want to make sure they got enough. And so I ask them frank questions like that. And then I will also ask them how the meeting goes. The interesting thing to find is this. The very places where the people were very stingy was where the Spirit did not work much. Not that the minister held himself back, but the anointing of God just didn't flow. And the places where the people were very giving was where the revival was. And it was also where the anointing of God was. Because where we have not dedicated in the natural, God cannot reveal in the spiritual. And every time you pray a prayer where you say, God, I dedicate my talents to you, you are putting yourself in a position to get a revelation from God. See, that's why people miss it when they're talking about prayer for spiritual growth. Every time when you pray for a natural need, and you pray without a prayer of dedication, you are not unleashing, the full forces of heaven behind it. Let me give you an example. If you're praying for a house, maybe you sign up for this condominium, right? Pray for a house. Now you're thinking it's about yourself. It doesn't unleash as much power as when you have prayed, God, I have dedicated my whole being to you. My spirit, soul, and body to you. I seek only your glory. And then you pray for that, there is difference. See, when you pray for the prayer of faith after the prayer of dedication, it's more powerful than when you pray the prayer of faith alone. There is a difference. The dedication part is there. There are many people who pray for businesses. Say, God, prosper me, Lord, so that I can be a good giver in you. So that. But God knows the condition of their heart. They have not fully surrendered to God. It does not come to pass either. But the opposite of it is when you have consecrated yourself to God. Like Abraham, who has given even Isaac to God. And you say, God, we just thank you for that. You just pray for all these things. And it seems that God answered. Now, that is one of the things about answered prayer. Some people, when they pray for natural things, they seem to get it faster than others. You want to know the part of answer is the dedication of the heart that God sees. Some people, besides faith level, the dedication level is also indicated. So God knows the condition of our heart, the dedication that is involved. So there has to be what I call a surrenderedness. A surrenderedness of the body, of our natural being to God. present your bodies, he says, as a living sacrifice. And as our bodies become living sacrifice, that's when you prepare for the revelation of God in your life. The Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It did not say, blessed are those who see God, for they shall then be pure in heart. The condition is pure first, then see. Not see first, then pure. Please put the chronology in order. And there are a lot of people who want the revelation of God in their life, but God will never reveal until they give something of their life. There must be a change that takes place in your spirit, a change that takes place in your soul, a change that takes place in your body, greater dedication in your life, and then there will be a greater revelation of God. That is why when we reach a point in our life, many times people have what I call instant transformation. They come to the point in God where they say, God, after so many years of struggling in a bad habit or in sin, where they finally come to the point of just bowing down before God, saying, God, this body has been used this way in sin. I'm dedicated now to live only for your glory. And I choose to say no to the wrong thing and yes to the right thing. Somehow when it comes up from you with all your heart, mind and soul, it can bring forth a revelation of God. And when a revelation of God comes, what it does is it seals and cements it into your life. It's like this new substance that today the dentists are using for the teeth. And long ago, this the dentists need to use those lead and to fill the teeth, and they just press the lead in. And after they drill your teeth where they want to do some work on your teeth and remove the decay part, they fill your teeth with lead. But they have a new substance today that reacts differently. It's liquid. A sort of semi-liquid. And they put it into your teeth and then they shine a light on it. See, it's just pliable, soft. It's easy to press fully in. You don't have to drill so much anymore as before. That you don't have to drill as big a hole as you need to. Just put the whole lump lead in. But this semi-liquid substance will just fill every gap that is there after cleaning. And when you see it, it's soft and pliable. It's a liquid form. A semi-liquid form. And then they shine a light. When they shine a light, it hardens to a solid. Exposure to that special light hardens it to a solid. In the same way, here you are pliable before God. You come to the point of yieldedness of your whole heart, mind and soul. And you tune your being to God. To dedicate. God's light shine upon you. Your position is what I call crystallized and cemented. Something within you gets crystallized and cemented. So that suddenly as you go away from God, and you look back at some of the old things that you used to do, you seem to be out of tune with those things now. You don't like them like you liked them before. Something has been cemented in you. And that process of cementing goes on. The revelation of God is life-changing, character-changing, is powerful. So we have established a second truth. And that is it. The first area is, unless we change, God does not reveal himself. We need all prayer for growth is the revelation of God, knowing God. The second area, as we begin to see here, is that there must be a change in either our spirit, soul, or body, or through all three areas, to get a greater revelation of God into our life. There must be change in those areas. And then the third area that we're moving to in concluding is this. All the prayers for growth involve a prayer for a change in our state. Since, logically, if we change, God reveals Himself. All prayers for growth must involve these two areas. It must involve a change in us, in some way expressed in a prayer, and it must involve a request for the glory of God to be revealed. See, a lot of people are praying for prayers of growth, but they don't include the process of change themselves. So it never is answered. So the third area, having seen both, we put the two together now. All prayers for spiritual growth must involve a change in us in some way, either spirit, soul, or body, and a request for God to reveal Himself in either His glory, His person, or whatever. It's basically just a request for God to reveal Himself. When Moses said, "Show me your glory," he was asking God to unveil Himself. Now, he could do it because he had dedicated himself to God. If it was somebody else who made the request would have been a flat no. But Moses had dedicated himself to God, and when he made that request, it was a yes, subject to your ability to take my revelation. And since you cannot take all my revelation, Moses, let me give you this small percentage, which is just my back part. So all prayer for spiritual growth has to include some change in us. Either it involves a strengthening within us, or something involving our mind, dedication, thought life, renewal, transformation, enlightening, and our natural dedication of our time, our talents, our finances, of our possessions, of our physical body. If it involves a change in those areas of your spirit, soul, or body, and then it requests for a revelation of God in either category, in any category, of His glory, of Himself, or whatever, it has a powerful effect on your spiritual growth, and it will get answered. It will get answered. Now, you can see Paul's example now. We can understand his prayers better now. And just say Ephesians, and we're going to see the whole key to it. Book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Notice there that he says in verse 17, he asked for God to give the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And you notice there, he says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So he prayed for a change in them. Just a prayer for a change in them. Then, that they may know His glory. And the same in Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 16, he prayed for a change in them. And then in verse 17 and 18, that they may know certain things. Now I want you to notice some of these other men who are praying, like in the book of 1 Kings, Solomon. 1 Kings, as to why God answered him. We get to understand the answer to some of these prayers very clearly. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" Now bear in mind, that was a powerful thing God said. God said, God appeared to him. That's a really powerful, the fact that God did appear. God revealed Himself. You know why God revealed Himself? Because He gave, before that verse there, He sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings in verse 4. 1,000 burnt offerings. And those were not small offerings. Those were fatted cows and lambs. Think about the amount of work, hours. That was hours of offering. To slaughter one calf doesn't take just seconds. I mean, you have to. It's hard work being a minister of God in those days. All those pastors must be very big size. Imagine they have to drag the calf and they go, yeah! And the cow go, ah! I mean, church in those days was noisy. With the screams of the dead animals. I mean, the animals dying. You know, the animals scream when they die? Have you ever heard a pig squeal at the abattoir? Go, ah! And so all the animals will be, I mean, they scream. It's a noisy church in those days. And then you have to know which part of the animal to cut. You're going to know where the kidney was. Can you imagine? You don't know. And you're cutting the animal, put your head in, no, where's that kidney? It's messy being a man of God in those days. And you've got to make sure it's a kidney, you've got to come out. God doesn't want the stomach, He wants the kidneys. Don't ask me why, it's in the Bible. He says, get the kidneys out, and then you've got to pull it out, and pull the yucky intestine out, burn it, the blood will be all over you, and you've got to slaughter it. And imagine you've got to do it 1,000 times. 1,000 times. Good thing they may have more than one guy. And all this messiness, what was Solomon doing? He was dedicating to God. And God appeared. And they asked. And even then he kept on the same thing. Even when God asked, do you notice here that his request in chapter 3, in verse 9, therefore give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern both good and evil, for who is able to judge these great people of yours? Now that request was for a change in him. Do you know this? Saying, God, change me. He was saying, God, change me. Change my soul. And he became the richest man of his time. And the wisest man of his time. That's powerful. Powerful. It's interesting to know that you must always combine for revelation of God. Now tonight when we go into prayer, God is going to reveal himself. You know God reveals himself all the time? Every time I pray, I see into the spirit realm all the time. It's wonderful. It's nice. I enjoy it. Enjoy it. Just praying and just ministering in the spirit realm and just seeing all kinds of things in the spirit realm. Jesus ministering to you. But to have that, and tonight, the level of revelation of God that He's going to bring into your life will be proportional to your surrenderedness in your body, proportional to the transformation of your mind, proportional to the level of your spirit man, the strength of your spirit man. See, part of the time, it's not just a meeting. Part of the time is you. That it determines the level of your reception from God. And if you truly are surrendered, like if tonight, if you're sitting right here, or you're coming here, and there's something that you're holding back from God, you may find that you couldn't get as much out of it as you should have. I know what it is like to experience the joy of surrender to the Lord. There could be some things that you're holding to in your life, and then the Spirit of God, the first thing He does, He doesn't reveal Himself. See, the Holy Spirit comes and He convicts first. He will just kick on at you. You. Give in. Change. Surrender. Give up. Yield. Come on. Are you willing? You willing? Yield. Give up. Surrender. Come on. Don't hold it. Give. And he keeps at it. He really keeps at it all the time. You could be holding to a sin in your life. You know in your life it's wrong. Your conscience troubles you. Let me tell you, every time you come to God in any meeting, you hear Him telling, give up. The moment you get through the door, it says, give up. You'll be holding to that sin all the time. And any meeting you run, whichever church you go to, first thing you go, you enter through the door, you hear Him say, give up. And He barks you. Tells you to give it up. Until one day you relent. He's so patient. And finally you say, yes, Lord, I give up. I am finally willing. In all my heart I'm willing. And bang, there comes the revelation of God. Because there has to be a change in our spirit, soul, and body before there's a revelation of God. And every time there's a revelation of God, there is growth. We grow by the revelation of God. The Bible says, you see, remember we define growth as change, not just a process of time. Every time God reveals Himself, you are changed into His glory. Job was never the same man again when he got the greater revelation of God. Do you notice that at the end of the book of Job, he got a greater revelation of God? Before he had some revelation of God. And based on his early revelation, he was a reasonably righteous man, a good man. But he had some things in his life that was not that way. And finally, at the end of the book of Job, when God revealed Himself, let's look at the book of Job, right at the last few chapters in the book of Job. And in the book of Job, chapter 38, verse 1, the Lord answered Job. In other words, there was a revelation of God. The revelation of God. And then God revealed Himself in verse 3, 4, and 5. Job answered, behold, I'm bound. Chapter 40, verse 3, 4, and 5. What shall I answer? Lay my hand over my mouth once I have spoken. I will not answer yes twice. But I will proceed no further. There was a change that was taking place in Job. I can assure you that he grew in leaps and bounds. He grew after that, and he was even twice as blessed as before. Because something in his capacity increased spiritually, and he increased naturally. Every revelation of God will change you. You will never be the same after you meet Jesus. But there are many levels of knowing Jesus. But each time you meet Jesus, it's not the same. I have not been the same since I met Jesus. Any true revelation of God will change you utterly. You see, God is not asking us to just turn over a new leaf. He's asking us to come to Him so that He could reveal Himself to us. Because when He does, something changes. And when it changes, we grow. We grow. And one overnight prayer meeting where you meet with God, or even if you meet with God for 2 hours in that time, or 6 hours praying, is like 10 years normal walking. Amen. never the same. When you walk with God and He reveals Himself to you. I love the revelation of God. Every time He reveals Himself, something more changes and you grow by leaps and bounds in things of God. You could cry, God, show me your glory. If you cry in the right position and perspective, His answer comes. God, reveal yourself must be qualified by God, change me. God, strengthen my inner man so I can take you. God, I dedicate my spirit, soul, and body. Sometimes we got to do it first before we come to get a revelation of God, to prove our dedication and surrender. Then you come, there is a revelation of God. The revelation of God is priceless. It's so precious. It's worth more than silver and gold. The revelation of God. You put things into your life that the world cannot buy. And you bring more things than the world could offer. The revelation of God. Revelation of Jesus Christ in our life. Paul, after knowing God for so many years, he said, I pray that you reveal yourself. And until we meet Him face to face, we can only say, God, I want to be changed more, reveal more of yourself. It's my constant cry to the Lord, reveal more. Reveal more. I want to see you face to face. I want to walk so much with God until I develop a presence with God that I could almost look right into the spirit world and just see Him all the time and fellowship with Him. Every time now when I close my eyes to pray, I could see and fellowship with Him. But I want to develop to the state that I'm conscious of that all the time and almost in a sense of seeing Him all the time. The more we see Him, the more we are changed and transformed into His glory. Every revelation has a price to pay. The price is paid by your spirit, soul, and body. Go to God in prayer. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, O God, that you would tonight reveal yourself. Reveal your splendor. Reveal your glory. Reveal your power. Reveal your love. Reveal your being. There's nothing else that we desire more than that you reveal yourself to us. To appear to our hearts. To appear to our minds. To appear to us physically. That we could love you and know you. Father God, we know that unless something happens in us, we cannot have the revelation from you. So we pray for every heart, mind, and soul here. We pray, O Father God, that your spirit will even move in our midst even now. If there be any sin and any habit and anything that your spirit is convicting that has not been let go, where you're asking for a surrendered life and lives are not surrendered to you yet, your spirit will continue working and convicting until the yes comes resoundingly to you. We pray that your Holy Spirit will strengthen every spirit right now. Let the spirits of each one receive a fresh touch from you tonight. Receive an impartation of your strength, your grace, the dynamic, that they could be prepared to meet you. Let the minds and the thoughts of each heart be brought under subjection to Jesus. Every wrong thought, every wrong habit in the mind will be brought under subjection to you. And that each one of us here of our physical bodies we present to you as a living sacrifice. And having done that, Father, we ask, O God, for the spiritual growth of each one. We pray, O God, having done all these things, tonight, reveal yourself. Let your people see Jesus. Let them touch you and experience you. Let them see you face to face. May those who have never seen you see you. Those who have never known the depth of your glory, know me. Tonight, and those under the sound of my voice, we pray, O Father, that they may see Jesus. That they may see you, Father. They may see the spirit world. They may have a greater revelation of Jesus Christ in all his glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Go to God in prayer tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Zeke bahashandarabahate ke bariandarabate karabate karabate.